All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Sam Yardley from Two Circles. Great article, by the way, and great research being done. I saw this article yesterday on ESPN. Coronavirus to cancel nearly half of scheduled sports events in 2020. Sam, first, just want to say thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
Okay, so tell me first, tell me a little bit about Two Circles, your organization, and then we'll get into the article and the effects that COVID-19 is having on sporting events, really across the globe. But we'll start with Two Circles.
Yeah, sure. So we're a consulting firm based in Los Angeles, New York, London, and Switzerland. We're about 7 years old, having worked with about 200 sports businesses around the world. And we primarily help on growing their revenues through ticketing, sponsorship, and media.
So when I look at the when I look at the article and I read into it, it says 47% of the scheduled sporting events that take place in 2020 have been canceled. Is that right? Is that the number? And maybe you can tell me just how you guys got to that number and some of the figures. How much does that equate events that will be canceled later, maybe events that could come back? Maybe you could just kind of give us the background on it.
Yeah, so we run a tracker every year that monitors sports events and attendances around the world. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done is looked at past years and figured out how many events we think are likely to get impacted by coronavirus based upon the time where the disease is at in various countries around the world. And what we think is the most likely method in which sports events can come back. So we think that there's obviously a near-term impact that we're witnessing right now, where almost all sports events around the globe have ground to a halt. But what we think is going to happen is later in the year there will be some kind of bounce back of sports events. But obviously, the longer that this goes on, the more that the cancellations. Well, the postponements will turn into cancellations, and we won't be able to get those games back.
Yeah, that's the big word right there: postponed versus cancellations. Sam, I'll ask you this: Sam Yardley from Two Circles on the Sliwa Show. Coronavirus to cancel nearly half of scheduled sports events in 2020. When you guys determine these numbers, so is it kind of a floating number? I mean, is it? I'm just using as an example. Let's say baseball eventually came back, they're being played, but they're being played without fans, or the NBA figures out some type of a solution to finish up the rest of its season, but again, it's in one location and there's no fans that can be in the game. How much does this, I guess you can say the numbers that you guys have here, how much of it is floating right now as the year just progresses?
Yeah, there's obviously a huge amount of uncertainty still there. What we're factoring into these numbers is there being shortened seasons for lots of the major leagues that were in process when coronavirus really took hold. So I think it's unlikely that we'll be able to get full regular seasons in place for baseball when you consider how jam-packed the schedule is already in baseball. I think it's really unlikely that we'll get a full slate of 2020 games in the calendar this year. And then there are lots of events that are cancelled now that won't come back all around the world. So, you know, prominent one-off events like Wimbledon and the Open Golf Championships have both been cancelled for 2020. So I think there's going to be a mix of shortened seasons. You know, I think the NBA and the NHL are looking at new ways to close out their seasons in a way that protects the integrity of the competition, but still kind of provides some closure. But I think it's really unlikely that lots of these major leagues are going to get a full slate of games back in based on what we're seeing at the moment and just how compressed the calendar is going to get in the back half of the year.
Well, it's interesting too because, you know, Sam, I was talking about this last week and I was mentioning to my producer, I'm like, man, I wish we had some numbers of the effect of what this is having from a sports perspective. So you guys projected revenue in 2020 for sports. What was the projected revenue and what is it now after this effect? I know you guys had it in the article, but I'd love for you to explain a little bit.
Yeah, so we're seeing a pretty severe impact here, and we've got numbers going down from $135 billion down to $74 billion, so losing over $60 billion in revenue around the world. And that's the money that goes to the properties, so the leagues and the teams. It doesn't account for broadcast advertising and other forms of lost revenue. So the economic impact of this is actually going to be far higher. So it is significant. What we're projecting is that that's going to be most felt for businesses that are skewed towards live events. Mm. So properties like the NFL with the huge media deals in place are actually in a better position than smaller organizations that are more reliant on ticket sales. Mm. So we see the bulk of that shortfall in revenue coming from ticket sales. And then that has a corresponding kind of knock-on effect in sponsorships and in media dollars late further down the line.
Sorry to cut you off there. What is the you said some of the sports are less reliant on fans actually at the games. Now, of course, all of them, there's an incredible amount of revenue, I'm sure, that comes from it. But the sports that are less reliant on it, you said, is the NFL. What sports are more reliant on it?
Yeah, so generally the smaller properties are more reliant on it. So, if you go down beyond the major kind of four or five top leagues, you get into local properties that are more reliant on ticket sales. Certainly teams are more reliant on ticket sales than leagues. Other properties that are pretty immune to this include things like the PGA Tour, where you have some big ticket items on the PGA Tour, like the Players Championship, which obviously got fell right in the middle of this. But the PGA Tour generates a huge amount of money just from broadcasts, and golf is actually pretty well set up to be delivered in a broadcast only environment. Mm-hmm. So golf will be relatively secure throughout this, certainly at the PGA Tour level.
That's a great point. No, absolutely. I didn't want to cut you off there. Keep going.
No. I think it's you can look on a property by property basis and figure out their exposure to this. Certainly, outside the major four leagues in this country, it's going to be more of an impact felt. But baseball with the sheer number of games is going to be more affected than NBA and NHL, given where those seasons got curtailed. NFL is its own beast, its own juggernaut. Obviously, it has a relatively few number of games, and so therefore isn't quite as reliant on the ticketing revenue as someone like MLB.
Yeah, and I think, Sam, you bring up a good point, because I guess we haven't thought everything through while we're just in the middle of this. But you mentioned certain leagues are good, but how about individual teams? There's all these arenas out there. I'll just use LA as an example, right? Staples Center. I don't know how many days there's no event at Staples Center, but typically it's just it's a handful of days a year. They have either the Kings playing there, the Clippers, the Lakers, concerts. There's always something going on at Staples. And then you start looking at all these other venues. SoFi Stadium supposed to have, obviously start their NFL season this fall. The Taylor Swift concert that was supposed to kind of kick things off at SoFi Stadium, that's not happening there. The venues and the specific teams, do they feel it more than the leagues?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you consider that some of the venues also they feel the effect of having concerts cancelled as well. So there's a kind of double whammy for some of the venues, and often the teams and the venues are part and parcel of the same organisation. So yeah, the teams are going to really struggle. I think what we're seeing is teams have, a certain degree of contracted income from broadcasts and from sponsorships, but ticketing and merchandise, concessions revenue, that's all kind of tied into the game experience. That's where they're really going to hurt this year. I think what we're projecting for next year is that there will be, there's going to be lots of pent up demand. Sports will bounce back and it will thrive on the other side of this crisis. But there'll be an intervening period where people will be, I think, a little bit more reluctant to go to games, certainly when there's going to be social distancing still in place, there may be restrictions on entry, all sorts of things in this kind of middle period before we kind of fully beat the virus and get a vaccine. So I think the future is quite challenging for sports properties. We're bullish about the long-term prospects, but certainly on a team-by-team basis, it's going to be challenging. They're relatively protected by the longevity of some of the contracts, but on a short-term basis, they're going to feel the effect of this.
Sam Yardley, Two Circles, coronavirus to cancel nearly half of scheduled sports events in 2020. Sam, there was a portion of the article I talked about. Seton Hall University Stillman School of Business polled that 13% of Americans are comfortable to attend games like they have done in the past. I'll just use that as an example right there. Going off the point that you made prior to this question, it's going to take time. It sounds like it's going to take time for, you know, just a comfort level, even when things, maybe they essentially don't go back to normal, but just to fill up arenas. Arenas are not filled up to have people 6 feet apart, right? Like, everything is not built. Our society wasn't built with this in mind. What kind of effect do you think this has on kind of, you could say, a little bit more of a long-term basis, number one? And number two, I guess just the confidence of consumers out there, do you feel like it's going to take some time for them to feel comfortable with going back out to these sporting events and concerts?
Yeah, I think there's going to be three distinct periods here. The first is what will happen, I think, very soon, where we get games back, they're on TV, there's no people attending, aside from, you know, the players, medical staff, security, all those people. I think that could last a good few months based upon where the current guidance is at a state and national level from a healthcare standpoint. Then we'll enter this real unknown period of, it's not a full return to normal, but large gatherings are more or less allowed, but they won't necessarily be able to take place in the way in which we're all accustomed to. Under that scenario, this kind of middle period, I think what we're going to see is that you'll have venues that very quickly recalibrate. So they'll reduce the capacity. They'll introduce new seating configurations. They'll sell, you know, if you need to be 6 feet away from anyone you don't live in a household with, then they want to get everyone in the household together and get them down, because it's a more efficient use of space. Hmm. So I think there'll be a reconfiguration of venues that allows them to get the games on, get people in the stadiums, but with fewer people in a different atmosphere. And then I think what will gradually happen, or what will happen once we get to hopefully vaccination and more return to normal, is some of those things will stay. Some of the new ways in which we consume sports will stick, and then others will return to normal. And we'll be able to get back to having packed houses and the lively atmosphere that we all want.
Sam, fascinating. Honestly, it's fascinating. I mentioned it last week. I was hoping to have some type of a conversation like this because I'm always curious from the business side of things, the type of effects that it's having. And this, this laid it out perfectly. And by the way, some of the things that you're referring to, it's probably going to be similar to restaurants where you're going to have maybe less tables. You're not sitting as close to people. Bars are going to probably be a little bit different. So there's that trickle down effect. But this is great, great insight, Sam. I greatly appreciate you taking some time joining the SLEWA show. I know for our audience here in LA, I think this is great content, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me on.